right, welcome back to the show. It's the Champs Wednesday here on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430. Champs Wednesday means this man's in the house, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. Catching up with Coleman, brought to you by Champs Sports Bar and Cafe, 111 North Main Street here in downtown Blacksburg. Christopher, how you doing, man?
Doing awesome, man, especially since I came down here and had this delicious American burger.
Yeah, man, they brought over a couple burgers, ranch and American and Champs Burger, and Quentin had probably about two or three of the burgers. I don't know what kind he had over there, but he had a few of them. But we ate good. We ate well here on Len Martensha here on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430, as we do every Wednesday here on a Champs Wednesday. And every Wednesday means we get to hook up with you, Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com. Christopher, last time we talked, man, they actually played three games since then. Duke on Thursday night, Boston College on Saturday, and last night an impressive win against Florida State, visiting Castle Coliseum. Let's talk about the Duke game first off. Let's start there, if you would. No Jeff Allen. In your eyes, would Jeff made that much of a difference where they won the basketball game?
Before the game, I would have said yes. After the game, I would have said no, because JT Thompson came in and put up Jeff Allen-type numbers, you know? Plus, you look at that game, and it was the guard play. Duke plays that pressured, extended defense. They'll extend their defense way past the three-point line. Tech's guards had trouble setting up the offense. They had trouble setting up the offense, much less even getting the ball inside. You know, a lot of JT Thompson's points came off dump-offs and offensive rebounds and things like that. So I don't think Jeff Allen would have made that much of a difference in that game. Although, you know, the potential was there, you know, for him to have a big game because of his size disadvantage. But I think that the guard play was so one-sided in that game that I don't think it would have made that much of a difference.
You mentioned guard play. One of the things that I noticed on Thursday night against Duke, Malcolm Delaney got into foul trouble early. Also didn't get into the rhythm of the offense, unfortunately. But on the defensive side, other guards were taking advantage of being played against Hank Thorns, who was listed at 5'9", is actually more like closer to 5'8". And because of that, you're going to get guards like DeMarcus Nelson, who are bigger, yes, stronger, going to want to post up Hank. That's a big disadvantage that the Hokies are going to have to deal with for the next couple of years with Hank and
Tom. Yeah, that's a disadvantage, but, you know, it's just something you've got to overcome with other parts of the game. I like Hank's playmaking ability from the point guard position. I think he's shown a lot of that the last two games. He made some plays against Boston College, especially in overtime. You know, not even with the points he scored in overtime. One of those where he dribbled right to the top of the lane, drew the defender, then dished it off to Washington, who was cutting down the baseline. He made some great passes against Florida State last night. And, you know, he has some size limitations, obviously. He's going to have difficulties fighting through screens. He can go around them, but, you know, as we saw last night against Florida State, when you go around them, then good guards are going to just step back and knock a three-pointer down. You know, so, I mean, there are going to be some issues there. But, you know, overall, I think he's improved a lot over the course of the last week.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on this Wednesday at Champs Wednesday here on Blacksburg's ESPN 1430. You mentioned Saturday, big win at Boston College after losing. Less than 48 hours, they go up to Boston College, Chestnut Hill, go out there and beat Boston College. And this is after losing at home against Duke, not having Jeff Allen, playing an extra session. And you mentioned Hank Thorns, him having 9 points in that overtime after scoring only two in the first 40 minutes. Impressive win. And they get that win. We're not even getting big numbers from A.D. Visayo and Deron Washington.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to say I was shocked that Virginia Tech won that game, but I will say I was very, very surprised. You know, that's a place Virginia Tech has never won in. And I think they're 0-6 up there, you know, since they joined the Big East and since they've been playing BC in the ACC. But, you know, they came off that Duke win and just put it behind them just like that. They got, I think, one practice in on Friday, a couple film sessions, and that's it. And they were focused, and they went up there, and they just obviously wanted it more than Boston College, you know. And that just shows me a lot about the character about this team. And it also shows me that they're buying into what Seth Greenberg is telling them, which is, in my opinion, the most important attribute of a coach, when your players buy into what you tell them.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com here on a Champs Wednesday here on Blacksburg's ESPN 14th. And let's move on to last night. And Chris, had I told you last week that the Hokies would win two out of the three of the three games being played between last Wednesday and this Wednesday, you'd have told me?
No, probably not going to happen. I would have said, you know, there was a you know, greater than 50% chance maybe that we beat Florida State last night. But two out of the three, you know, with Jeff Allen only starting one of those games, or no, actually, he didn't even start last night. He came off the bench and played 19 minutes. You know, so, I mean, they didn't get Jeff Allen minutes and Jeff Allen production like they typically do last night. But that's okay because JT Thompson was in there and had 11 more points and 5 more rebounds. Did not turn the ball over again. I mean, he's impressing me with you know, not only his scoring and his rebound, but just his overall basketball skills. You know, he's very strong with his dribble. He's aggressive. He's making some good passes out there. He had that steal against Boston College in overtime. I mean, he's just an impressive all-around player. And you think originally he wasn't supposed to come in until next year. He was not supposed to come in until next year until they changed those NCAA prep rules in the offseason. He had to hurry up and get himself qualified over the summer, and he worked really hard to do that. Give him credit for it, and he came in, and he's in a major part of the team now.
Not only did they win the middle game of those three games, but they won it, in a sense, in overtime once again. But then last night, Chris, they go out last night, and in the first half shoot nearly 61%. You would think after those two games, you come back on a third game, tired legs, but they came out last night and busted out to an 18-4 run.
Well, yeah, that's what impressed me is their start. And, you know, the last 2 minutes of that game, which turned into more like 20 minutes notwithstanding, I thought it was pretty clear who the better team was last night. I mean, Virginia Tech dominated that game last night. It really wasn't as close as the final score indicated. And that's with Florida. Florida State has, they've basically got 4 senior guards. They've got a fifth-year senior. They got 2 fourth-year seniors. Tony Douglas is a junior, but he's a transfer from Auburn, which makes him a fourth-year junior. He's a former SEC Freshman of the Year at Auburn. You know, I mean, Florida State has talent out there on the outside, but I thought Virginia Tech's freshman backcourt, really handled that experience well. You know, they only combined, Malcolm Delaney and Hank Thorns only combined for 3 turnovers in last night's game, which shows me they're making a lot of progress in a week. You know, after you play those pressure guards for Duke, everybody else kind of seems, you know, pretty easy with the way they pressure the ball. You know, so I think Tech was able to run their offense a lot more effectively last night than they had. And I'm just seeing a lot of progress from this team over the last week.
Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joins us on ESPN 1430. Catching up with Coleman brought to you by Champ Sports Bar and Cafe. Chris, speaking of catching up, I got a chance to catch up with Seth Greenberg yesterday after the win, and I want you to listen to something.
Coach, there were moments tonight that Jeff and JT actually played together. What would keep you from starting them together?
I think that, you know, again, I think Shaq's given us good minutes, and I'm really proud of Shaq. I know he's a little bit down because he was like to play more. He took himself out of the first half of foul trouble. That could be a future. That could be a future lineup. I mean, they're going to play a lot together because I think they complement each other, and then we slide Durant to 4 some, and we want Lewis in there some too.
Talking about playing JT Thompson and Jeff Allen together. Last night, as you mentioned, JT Thompson got the start again. Jeff Allen came off the bench, got some quality minutes, but the possibility of playing those two guys together.
Oh, it's definitely there. They were in the game together some last night, and you know, there were times last night when there were 4 freshmen on the court at the same time, and Virginia Tech didn't miss a beat when that happened. They kept running Florida State right out of the gym. So, you know, it's obvious the future around here for basketball is pretty exciting because Virginia Tech has their backcourt of the future. They got their front court of the future. The only player they're losing is Deron Washington, and next year they're bringing in Victor Davila, who is another really good, solid inside presence, terrific rebounder, averaging, Seth said one night on the Hokie Hotline that he was averaging about 20 rebounds a game this year down in Winston-Salem where he plays his high school ball. So Tech's really starting to load up on front court prospects, and they got a couple good backcourt guys right now that are playing well. And the future's just looking good right now.
Chris, you know what impresses me most about that run last night? And certainly shooting 61% in the first half is certainly impressive. But when they went to the bench last night, they went 9 deep last night during that run. And that showed me a lot because everybody contributed. Even when they got off to that first 2 minutes at 7-2 start, you look around and JT Thompson's contributing. Malcolm Delaney's hitting a mid-range jumper. Deron's doing his job. AD's hitting 3-pointers. Shet had the dunk. So all 5 guys that started contributed last night. But then they go to the bench and bring in Hank Thorns. He has a nice steal, has a pass and feed to Jeff Allen, who gets that dunk. And then, of course, you get Dorenzo Hudson, who comes in, grabs a rebound, brings it down court, and unlike he's done in the past, he actually made the smart pass to Terrell Bell. So there you go. You got 9 guys already in the first 10 minutes that contributed last night.
Throw in Lewis Witcher right there. I don't know if he played in the first 10 minutes, but as soon as they brought him in, a Florida State guy just tried to drive right down the lane on him, and he had a great block where he met the guy up at his release point. You know, Lewis, you know, he's he's got to develop some more aggressiveness and everything, but he's got ACC ability. You know, he's a solid contributor to this basketball team when he plays. I haven't seen a Tech team this deep before, you know, where you can go that deep. I mean, they brought Jeff Allen off the bench last night. Think about that. You brought Hank Thorns off the bench last night. You're bringing Dorenzo Hudson off the bench, who, by a few scouting services, was a top 50 player. I mean, Virginia Tech has never had this much basketball talent before, and they're playing well right now as freshmen. And if they can keep that composure, keep that chemistry, and continue to improve, maybe add a couple more pieces to the puzzle, like Victor Davila coming in next year, then they're only going to get better.
Len Martez and Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com joining you on a Wednesday, Champs Wednesday here on Black Sports ESPN 1430. Looking ahead, you've got the Cavaliers coming to town on Saturday. Hokies right now 4-3, fourth place in the ACC. What can we look for Saturday?
It's going to be a great atmosphere. This is Virginia Tech's chance to sweep Virginia in basketball. Virginia has always had the upper hand on Virginia Tech in basketball. And this year, I mean, you know the expression, kicking somebody when they're down. If Virginia goes up to College Park and loses by a significant margin tonight, which I think is a distinct possibility, then they're going to be pretty down coming into that game on Saturday. And coming into Castle Coliseum when you're down is a tough place to play. It's imperative for Virginia Tech to get out to a good start because you know Virginia's lacking in confidence right now. Nothing's going well for them. They're just not playing good defense. Singletary's been struggling. Their role players are hit or miss. They're just not a confident basketball team. And if the Hokies can jump out, you know, something similar to like they did with Florida State the other day, or not even that much, even if it's a 10-4 lead or something like that. And that's got to shake Virginia's confidence. So I think the start to the game on Saturday is key.
Before we let you get out of here, a couple of football notes. Looks like defensive end Joe Jones is committed to Virginia Tech. What do we know about him?
I like Joe Jones. 17 sacks last year. Hasn't gotten that much attention because he played in the state of Virginia as a sophomore, played in the state of Tennessee as a junior, moved back to the state of Virginia this year as a senior. So he's kind of flown under the radar a little bit right there. But I like him. He's got good scholarship offers. I think if Tennessee didn't have a lot of coaching change over in the offseason, they would have ended up offering him. But as it is, he chose Virginia Tech over Georgia Tech and Maryland, and it's a position of need, and I think it's a very good pickup for Tech.
We had Billy Hyde on the show last week, Hokies running back coach. We had him on the show last week, and he talked about being one of the few coaches on that staff that gets almost everyone back. And with that being said, now all of a sudden you got five or six running backs. You've got Ryan Williams potentially coming in. And how do you get the ball to all these guys? And potentially somebody moving to the defensive side. He mentioned the fact that it might be easy to get a guy who may end up being third or fourth on a depth chart to actually accept going on the defense side and play defensive back.
Yeah, I think there's some candidates there. Jahri Cheeseman used to be a cornerback. I can see him fitted in really well at possibly Rover or the whip linebacker position. But at the same time, I like his running talents quite a bit, you know. So I guess it's a good problem to have. Billy has a lot of experience. You know, he's always had good backs here. So we just got to wait for the spring to let it shake itself out. But, yeah, he's absolutely right. He and Jim Cavanaugh and Carton Newsom are the three coaches this year that have pretty much everybody coming back. You know, I mean, Carton Newsom's got to fill a spot at left tackle with Dwayne Brown leaving, but he's got his other four starters coming back, all his backups coming back, a bunch of guys who redshirted. They're going to be competing for the two deep. So those are the three coaches that should be able to earn their paychecks this year.
Speaking of guys coming back, Brandon Orr, obviously the number one tailback on his team, comes back. And if you look around, Chris, you see all these guys, all the juniors leaving for the NFL and even some ACC guys leaving too. With that being said, Brandon has a chance to actually be the best running back in the ACC next year.
Oh, yes, he does. You know, if he comes back in shape, and he runs hard, and he keeps himself healthy, and doesn't get injured. The offensive line gels. You know, Dwayne Brown's a bigger loss than people think. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's going to protect the quarterback's blind side. But at the same time, I really like Tech's capability as far as run blocking next year up the middle. We got three really strong guys at both guards and the center spot, and there's going to be more depth next year. So I think Tech will have a strong running game next year. Stronger than the last 2 years, that's for sure.
We'll find out some more information next Wednesday, signing day next Wednesday. As a matter of fact, next Wednesday you'll be on with us at 5 o'clock to get all that information. Signing day next Wednesday, big day, man. Big day for us, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's a big day. I mean, you know, recruiting's the lifeblood of the program, and this is just the next step to the future.
All right, Christopher, thanks for your time, brother. We'll talk next Wednesday, man.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
All right, Chris Coleman at TechSideline.com joining us on Black Sports ESPN 1430. Don't forget, next week, we got a couple of segments with Christopher talking signing day next Wednesday. But we got one more segment right here on Black Sports ESPN 1430 on a Champs Wednesday. We'll talk a little bit about the New York Mets getting Johan Santana, and we'll give you a chance to win lunch on us.